today is Monday, June 20th, 2016, and you are listening to KBOO, your community radio station in Portland. My name is Cecil Prescott, and I'll be joined here shortly by my co-host Celeste Carey for More Talk Radio. Joining us today are Patrick Philpott, and here right now is Kyle Moses with the City of Portland Disability Program. We invite you to listen in, and if you have questions for Kyle and Patrick, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And good morning, Kyle. How are you?
I'm great.
It is great that you have joined us this morning, and you told me you are a morning person, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so this is not unusual hour for you.
Right, exactly.
So let's begin by telling us a little bit about yourself and your position with the City of Portland.
So I was actually brought into the program, the project, by Nicola Sharon, and she basically helped me figure out a way to bring the disability communities together and to create a Disability Leadership Academy new framework. So that's what I was brought in to do.
Excellent. And so is the Disability Leadership Academy, is this something new or has it occurred before?
It actually has occurred before, and, you know, there was some success, but we were also looking to create a different framework so that success could be built on to what we, you know, what has already been done. So really that's what we were looking to do.
Excellent. And so briefly describe what it is. So is it a school? Is it a training?
It's an empowerment training, really looking to help people with disabilities, and that's all people with disabilities, help to learn skills to empower themselves so that they can really feel like they have a voice in their community with which they live.
And when you say empower, I'm assuming that you mean teaching maybe meeting facilitation skills or maybe public speaking, or is it going even beyond that?
It is going beyond that, Celeste. I think that it's more about taking a pride in yourself and believing in every life matters, and the fact that people with disabilities have been marginalized along with people of color, etc. They need to feel that they're engaged in a different way and allow themselves to figure out more how that they can both be empowered in their community organizations and their cities so that they have a voice and their voice does matter, and that they can then augment civic engagement and change as a result of that.
So is this similar in some ways to the civic and leadership academies that we have for a lot of our communities of color here in Portland?
Exactly. Actually, the DCL program, the Diversity and Civic Leadership Program that the city runs also helps to do the exact same thing, and actually the Disability Leadership Academy was sort of built on that model. So you start with some programming, and then you go into an experiential experience, and then after that you have a graduation. It's a pretty 1, 2, 3, you know, type of step that allows for enough understanding and enough, you know, personal and experiential development so that, you know, the civic skills can actually then grow. And then once they grow, they can germinate into what the person wants to actually create.
So who, what type of people are you looking for to participate in this Leadership Academy? Are you expecting people who've had experience, or can people who just are interested, who've never done anything of this level before, be able to participate?
Well, I think we're looking for people that are 18 and plus that have a self-diagnosed disability. That means that they themselves feel they're disabled on whatever level, and it doesn't have to be medically sort of sanctioned, so to speak. So it's not like you have to go get a doctor's note and be like, oh, I have a disability now. No, that you know, time and place has sort of ended. And I think that, you know, really having the confidence and the belief that you both matter and have a disability and have pride in that disability is something that really allows that idea to kind of be self-directed, not directed from above. If that makes any sense.
It certainly does. So a person, and you said self-diagnosed or self...
Right, self-diagnosed. And, you know, I think that that's the first part of empowerment. And I think that that's the first part of really incorporating difference as a positive and not as a negative.
Oh.
You know, so, I mean, that's a real radical shift from what a lot of people, generally speaking, go towards, which is... Oh, I have a disability, and thus I'm less than or not valued part of who we are or who I am. So, as I like to say, I'm an empowered person with disabilities, and I think that a lot of people don't understand that, but I think that it's really taking that first step in accepting the disability and then really being able to allow yourself to sort of see where that takes you and not see that as a problem, but, you know, see that as a more of a stepping stone to real self-awareness and self-acceptance and self-love, you know, because I think that that's the hardest part of being alive in a lot of ways. You have a lot of people that say, oh, well, this is a problem and this is an issue, this is, you know, whatever. And I think that not being able to accept that and not see that as a problem is really challenging. And really, it takes a lot of courage, you know, to really believe that you do have worth and that that worth is, you know, on par with everyone else. So I think that that's what we're really trying to sort of focus on in this Leadership Academy, utilizing those skills and helping people with disabilities find their way so that it's not simply that they have, you know, that it's a problem to solve. It's a part of who the person is, and then having that create a sense of belonging and love and self-love, and so that can then create change in the outside community and in the city of Portland.
You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metro area, 91.9 in Hood River, and Philomath, it is 104.3. And we'd like to invite people worldwide to tune in as well at www.kboo.fm. Today we're here with Kyle Moses, and we are trying to encourage people to empower themselves and take advantage of an opportunity for civic and social change training. And Kyle is discussing and sharing with us the City of Portland's upcoming Disability Leadership Academy. You can join in the conversation if you are curious to how to get yourself or someone you care about involved. And the phone number is 503-231-8187. Lines are open. So in a way, I can imagine, Kyle, that for some people, just the act of declaring themselves disabled might be a bit of a political and personal challenge. For some people, the thought of, like you said, having to take on a label that seems to at first strip away can be a little frightening, or it can seem, and I'll go ahead and put my foot out there and say disabling, you know. But how do you plan to adjust and address some of the some of the philosophies, I guess I say, the ideologies that are around disability consciousness?
So that's a great question. I think that really looking at issues related to power dynamics and issues of social inequalities, issues of political inequalities, and the fact of people with disabilities simply not being viewed as good enough, and issues of the other, which is sort of a broad term that basically says, I'm not worthy of anything. I need to be sort of put over in a corner. And this is, you know, connected with issues of racism, issues of, you know, prejudice of sexual orientation. I mean, this is not just sort of a disability-related issue. This kind of crosses over on a variety of other issues. And I think that that's also a really wonderful caveat, so that it's not simply just, I have a disability. It's my fellow brothers and sisters are out there hurting as well. And this is why. And this is sort of the issues on a very systemic level that can be done.
One of the issues that people who do not have power face is the sense of isolation and the struggle to not only find their voice, but also to find community. How do you plan to first reach out to people about this academy, and how do you also help people not only find community but find the voice to do so?
Well, along with going on the radio, which I'm doing right now, I think that also going door to door literally is the best way to sort of create this groundswell, so that people really see me as a person and see me as someone who's outside of City Hall, et cetera, and really allow that sort of personal connection to be created. Because if that can't be established, then all of it is kind of lost. And I think that goes for any personal or, you know, political or any academy that's going to be, you know, created. If you don't have that name with the face, that's not going to be a very profitable situation.
And so with the reach out and seeking out to, you know, door to door, I guess almost literally, I'm talking to people. Are there ways in your outreach that you have discovered that there are still some stumbling blocks, some barriers?
Yeah, of course. I mean, with disability has such a range, and everyone experiences disability in such a different way. And you're usually coming out with, you know, people that, you know, have had really huge, tremendous losses and huge isolation issues and aren't necessarily willing to even trust someone from the city or whatever. And that's sort of where I need to sort of break down those barriers one moment at a time. And really, it's not just a one-shop deal. It's really going out for multiple times and saying, this is really important. This is what I'm going to offer you potentially. This is what the city is going to offer you, et cetera. So it's not simply just we're here at that one point and then kind of like, okay, bye now. And then, hope that, like, because these are really systemic issues that haven't been really addressed in a very, useful way. And it really needs to change. And I'm, wanting to be part of the change dynamic so that it really does work. And it's not an issue that feels like it's just we're pandering or we're tokenizing or we're, creating a sense of belief that, like, over a course of a 10-minute conversation, we're going to create, a huge groundswell of change in one shot,
Right. And I suppose because you are also representing a agency or institution, that in itself might be a barrier because of the way in which institutions have kept people isolated and disempowered.
I agree. Yeah.
And siloed.
And siloed. And you're over here and we're over here. The power's over here. You're not really part of the power. And that's a very challenging thing. That's why it needs to be not just a one-shot deal, but sort of an extension of the conversation as a continuing module. It's not something that just is going to be done as I said, you know, in a 10-minute conversation is sort of say, oh, everything's fine. Isn't it good now? Can't we just all get along? And, you know, this has been a huge experience for years and years and years. And, you know, issues of microaggressions and issues of believing that, you know, people are better and, you know, having to really work at that, you know, so it's, we're all in this together. It's not, you know, one person over another. I think that that's the huge, that's the beginning where it needs to start.
And so, you know, one of the things I'm hearing come out of this is there's a commitment then to dealing with cross-disability solidarity, because I'm listening to you talk about, you know, isolation and silos, and you're talking about making sure that this covers that whole gamut and all the different ways that people realize and struggle with disabilities. And so you're looking at building a really strong cross-disability solidarity. And I can imagine that with any group, you're still going to be dealing with those internal isms, because every group has them. So there are going to be people who are much more financially able to address the challenges, or they're more educationally equipped. What's going to be the leveler? How are you going to level those differences? Or is that going to be something that the group is going to work on?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a group dynamic that sort of creates the groundswell that needs that, you know, change to be established. As I said, you know, this is going to be a group of 10 to 15 people. So we're changing the world one person at a time, really, honestly. I mean, I think that, like, that's the only way that this can really be done in a strategic way. It can't be necessary, you know, it can be done in a more in a general way, but I think in a more pragmatic approach, it needs to be one person at a time.
And before we get, as we continue our conversation, I don't think we've mentioned how people might get in touch with you if they are interested.
Mm-hmm. So my contact information is kiel.moses@portlandoregon.gov.
And do you prefer email, or is there a way that people who maybe have email challenges can reach you?
Sure. My number is 503-823-2539.
And what does it take to enroll in this Leadership Academy? Is it a matter of call? Is it an essay? you know, are there any questions that a person should be prepared to answer, or what?
Yeah, so there's a small application packet that, you know, with some questions and some general information. But really it comes down to if the person has a commitment for civic change and civic engagement and really has a history of that, you know, that's really what we're looking for. If, you know, if the program is going to be successful, you know, to have at least some backing, some beginning, which may or may not be an easy thing to find. I'm hoping that it's easier said than done, although with any marginalized group, sometimes you're not going to find that. And so we're hoping to really allow that to, you know, not be a stumbling block for people that don't have any sort of experience in that, but have... But have an understanding of what they're looking to do. So if they don't have the experience, maybe what they can do is say, I'm committed to X, Y, and Z, and, you know, we're going to have someone have a reference. So if they can sort of say that this person is valued in the community for this, you know, reason or whatever, to allow that to definitely weigh into them participating and, you know, most likely being a very valuable candidate.
And how long will this academy last? What's the commitment that you're asking people?
So we're looking for, at this point, a 9-month to year long experience. We've created a 6 to 9 week sessions, workshops in the front end, and then in the middle end, we're going to have sort of the experiential, the experiential disability scan, and or which is going to look sort of like where the participants go out into each different part of the community and really have the dialogues. So then that those people that have gone through the experience can help hopefully listen to issues related to disability in the community, because without the community's input, what good is having a disability program? You know, we really need to start in that regard. So that's really what the importance is here. And then also being involved in the second year, hopefully having them do some internships. And then in the third phase, we're going to have a graduation where dignitaries are going to be involved and family and friends are going to be obviously invited. And it'll be hopefully a real great experience.
You're listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Charles Prescott. I'm here with my co-host, Celeste Carey. Our guest this morning is Kyle Moses of the City of Portland Disability Program. If you have a question or comment for us this morning, give us a call here at 503-231-8187. Kyle is talking about an academy for people with disability, an empowerment academy. If you would like to reach Kyle, you may reach him at, let me see if I get this right, kiel.moses@portlandoregon.gov.
Yep.
Dot G-O-V.
That's correct.
Oh, wow.
And
you
yes,
may reach him, may reach him by phone at 503-823-2539.
Now, one of the things that I'm hearing also is so I'm assuming that there is a committee or a group that's working with you on this. So I'm sure there are some folks listening and saying, well, who are these people? And is this going to be a case of those who don't know and haven't experienced leading those who have experience? Or is this a group of people who do work with and do help bridge those challenges for disabled people?
Yeah, so I have a committee as well as a subcommittee that has helped me help with the framework and some of the detail-oriented work related to the Disability Academy and getting sort of clear about how to go forward and make this a successful experience. You know, with that said, I think that anyone who's involved and anyone who's excited should come forth. You know, this is not something, some exclusive club that we're trying to create here. This really, you know, has a participatory democracy sort of experience. So allowing people to really believe that they have the talent and the worth, and that's the key, I think, the worth to participate and not to feel like they have to sort of shy away simply because they're not sort of in the known of the disability community, activists, et cetera. You know, we don't want to create this, you know.
this team, right. Superstar team.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. The super crypt, they call it, you know.
And so this is a very democratic approach in terms of calling all people of different skills level and stardom.
Right. It really comes from within, though. Yes. You have to be really excited and willing to take the time and the energy to be part of a program that's fairly extensive. You know, we understand that at the city, but we're also committed to sort of holding that space so that people aren't going to be like, oh, well, this was fun. Now I don't want to do this anymore, and sort of going away and kind of, because I think that that's a very disempowering experience when you start something, you don't feel that you have that that connection or that support, really, you know, and that's what we're trying to do. That's why we created the committee and subcommittee in the beginning to try and hash out some of these issues related to, you know, how this was going to actually work.
And I'm not sure whether or not you address it. Is there any cost involved for those who participate? financial cost? Do they, is there no tuition or anything?
So a lot of that hasn't been, no, there will not be any cost. We're still figuring out some of the details related to how that's all going to work in terms of money. And but it looks like everything is on point, and it really allows people with disabilities, again, to find their ways to you know, to feel empowered.
Right. So it'll be accessible.
Very much so. Mm-hmm.
Accessible financially and also physically. But then, you know, I would ask, how are you going to handle some of the materials? Because some people have what you call a hidden disability. You don't see it. Mm-hmm. And it's not as though disability needs to be vetted or validated by anybody. When you are trying to be part of that whole governance and power dynamic. But in terms of folks who may have cognitive challenges, how are you looking at presenting the information?
So we're looking to be as clear and as transparent as possible. If there's any issues, you know, we all look for clarification. I've been, you know, diligently working on the ways to get this out in the public, and so, you know, making those promotional experiences. Statements, et cetera, as clear as possible so that people of, you know, across disability can really experience and understand what they're potentially getting into.
So in other words, if you have sight issues, there may be Braille or other accommodations.
Exactly.
Or readers.
Exactly.
If you've got cognitive processing, there might be someone to help you process the information.
Exactly.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. We want to extend, encourage, and invite folks to connect. And we know typically people get into the habit of listening and sometimes forget that they can call in until the last minute when they hear that one or two words that just excite them. So don't let this be the moment if this sounds like something you would really like to either get involved in or have a friend or family member or the loved one who you'd like to see connected. 503-231-8187 is the phone number here for More Talk Radio. And as they say in the now seen on TV, the lines are open.
The lines are open. I'm wondering, Carl, if you are able to talk a little bit about the City of Portland Disability Program in general, to give us some information about that program and its focus.
Yeah, so it's been around since 2006, and so it's celebrating its 10th year anniversary. It really looks to sort of celebrate disability in a variety of capacities, whether that be in the streets, so to speak, in the area of Portland, in various areas of Portland, cross-disability, you know, conferences, rallies. There's going to be something, hopefully, for the 26th anniversary of the ADA. So, you know, that's coming up on July 26th. So that's its ADA's birthday. So 1990. And so, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of things going on. So it's exciting.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, I believe we have someone who would like to speak with you. So let's go to Cheryl. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
My question, Kyle, was, is this for persons with disabilities that you're looking to train to go out into the community?
Yes, it is for people with disabilities. We're trying to really make it for people with disabilities and not parents of, et cetera, because you know, in many respects, I think, you know, even though disability impacts everybody, including the family, I think the people with disabilities need to figure out ways to empower themselves so that when their parents are no longer with them or their other family members who are generally taking care of them in some respects, you know.
Well, I have a son who's very intelligent, and I think this would be very empowering for him. He was He's got issues with, I mean, I saw this probably several years ago, that he, from repeated incarceration, and he's going to be 38 in September, and he is sitting in probably the, he got beat up pretty bad at Lloyd Center. He's 6'3". I don't know what happened, but he's only been out of OSCI since May 6th, which isn't very long, and what's transpired in the last 6 weeks, I've been looking to get him in inpatient rehab or outpatient with housing is a big issue. And he just, he would be perfect for a program like this. He has the intelligence and ability to do it. He kind of has a isolation, hidden issues. He knows he has mental issues because he's brought it up many times, but getting help is really a problem when you have no money.
Right.
Getting a lawyer when you have no money.
Right.
It's really been, that's been really an issue for several years. So I'm going to, his father and I are going to talk to his PO today, but that's why I was wondering, is this for people with disabilities? And I don't know, do you know when your training is going to start or have any ballpark idea of when this is going to...
Well, that's a great, great follow-up. We're looking at fall of this year, so,
okay.
You know, October, November, something around
okay.
there. I mean, when that gets more clear, we'll definitely let everyone know for sure.
Yeah, I have your website written down. Well, maybe between now and then, if something transpires where he has the ability to get into a situation where he is able to get into this program, that was my question about if this was, I was unclear if this was for just, for people with disabilities or not. That's why I called.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Kyle. Well, I think it's a wonderful idea. I live in West Salem. If I lived in Portland, I would love to be on board with this. I might mention this to his dad. He's retired and see if he's interested in it. But anyway, I really applaud you for doing this because I think a lot of these issues we deal with, whether it's shootings or anything else, my opinion is, you know, label it terrorism. I think it's a lot of social breakdown that's happening. And there's a lot of people that are having mental issues that maybe aren't, you know, disabled, but, you know, just dealing with a lot of struggling with trying to keep yourself afloat or being homeless and just et cetera, et cetera. So I think this is a wonderful idea, and I hope the city, you know, follows through and backs it up because I think a lot of good could come out of this. And I appreciate the program. Thank you.
Be well.
Thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
And our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We're speaking with Kyle Mosley of the City of Portland Disability Program and the Leadership Academy. If you like information about that or have any questions in general about the City of Portland Disability Program, please give us a call. We are also looking for people with disabilities and allow them to share their concerns or questions. Kyle, I want to go back to the City of Portland Disability Program in terms of the things that they do. And I was on your website recently. I got a call from a friend of mine last evening who was watching a program about the big earthquake that's coming. And he was wondering, what about people like me who, you know, living with a disability and how will we get out? Is there ways in which the city is doing anything to make us, you know, to protect us? Or
yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up. So Nicole Sharon, actually, who was in the position before me, she created a really beautiful handbook that's really looking to establish what to do when the earthquake or natural disaster happens. And so, you know, the city can... you know, come in and help with doing those particular discussions in facilities like where your friend lives or what have you, so that people can really believe that the city has their back and they have a plan and they have actually then something in their hand with which they can kind of say, oh, well, in this particular case, I need to do this, that, and the other, so that it's not just sort of out in the atmosphere. No one's actually explaining what's really needed to, you know, happen when something serious like that happens.
Excellent. Excellent.
And how can people access this information? I know that it's on the website, but again, who should they call if there might be cognitive or vision issues and they don't have access to the website?
So they can either call me. We do a lot of accommodations, and or they can call Brian Hoop at 823-3075, I believe.
We'll check that number to
make
sure.
Yeah, sorry
okay.
about that.
No, that's okay. That's okay. And again, people who are interested can give us a call. It is 837, and we know sometimes people are a little reticent to label themselves as having any challenges or disabilities. But this is a chance to make those connections and bridge whatever gaps you may feel there are with regard to your activism. So this is a chance to get involved and find out more information, 503-231-8187.
And again, Kyle, a part of the emphasis of the Leadership Academy is to for people to say that, you know, who have said, I've never done anything, I don't have any abilities, I don't have any skills, but I'm interested.
Right. I think everyone has skills, you know, and I think that's the real important piece. We've been conditioned and told by, you know, the powers that be in our society that, you know, have had power forever, that you don't have skills. And we're trying to, you know, circumnavigate that, you know, bring that into a different viewpoint. So it's like, actually, you do have skills. You've been just hit over the head a few too many times and, you know, really told that you're not valued. And we're trying to come out with a much more empowered lens and I think that that's really what we're looking to do.
So empowerment is very important, and getting over that hump, if you will, of saying that I have no skills, I have no power, I'm not important.
Right. Well, and civic engagement is also another huge component, being on committees and being viewed as, you know, having a voice is super important. And I think that it's something that more people with disabilities have sort of said that they don't feel like they have. They don't, you know, want to even engage. And so we're giving, you know, as many people as possible as are willing to get involved in a program like this, the time to do that and the place to do that. And, you know, and have empowered people with disabilities be teaching them and, you know, giving them those skills so that, you know, they can choose to be empowered, because it's a choice, like all most things in life.
And as you were just saying it, it occurred to me when you mentioned civic engagement, how certainly intimidating it can be,
right?
Going into an office building, a city bureau,
right?
Testifying for a committee,
right?
These are all things that your academy will teach, engage,
exactly.
Allow people to practice.
Right. So it's more learning the ropes of how things really work behind the scenes, and really allowing them to sort of get that behind the scenes awareness, understanding who's in power, who's not in power, et cetera. How do you really showcase that voice? Because we all have it. I mean, even if someone doesn't speak traditionally, they always, you know, there's always ways that they can communicate out in the world that makes a difference.
And while we are encouraging folks to give us a call at 503-231-8187, I've got the phone number for Brian Hoop. His last name is H-O-O-P, and the phone number is 503-823-3075. That's 823-3075. And, you know, just then I'm speaking, I have to give phone numbers two different ways to make sure I'm saying them right, because I'm dyslexic and have other challenges. So we really want to make sure we encourage people from all different levels or types of disability to come in. It's a chance to kind of relax and know that you're around people who understand whatever challenges you are and can appreciate whatever creativity you bring to life to overcome these issues.
Exactly.
You know, because a lot of us all have our little tricks and we can call them cheats or whatever you do to kind of help make a difference in our life and do what we can to kind of level the playing field. And this is a great chance to take that education a whole bunch of steps further.
I agree. And I think that also having disabled advocates being able to teach those, you know, skills, because some in some cases they haven't been seen ever in terms of having those role models and having those people that are in the world that are actually doing things that can actually teach where their experiences led to, et cetera. So, you know, having that that experience is really phenomenal.
We're speaking this morning with Kyle Moses. You know, now
go ahead. Now I say it. I know you
well,
want
you
to.
You know, it's a Kyle Moses. I'm sure you've been told that before. You know, the prophet, the one who's leading people. but you mentioned earlier a celebration of the anniversary of the American Disability Act. I was wondering as imagine, I know that our country has gone a long way in terms of actually seeing people with disability and acknowledge their existence. And but we have a long way to go yet. Working with the city, working with that bureaucracy, what are some of the challenges, frustrations you face in terms of making and doing your work?
Parting the sea of red tape.
Well, Celeste has been a help in that regard. You know, I mean, we're all in this fight together in many ways, and I don't necessarily even see it necessarily as a fight. It's more of a challenge, and kind of a dance, if you will, with, you know, working with people that are in power that have, you know, a lot of strong opinions and a lot of ways of swaying, shall we say. And I think, you know, being respectful of those opinions, but also being clear about how you want to be in the world and how you want to see the world sort of in your mind's eye, so to speak, you know, for people with disabilities. I think that that's really all that, you know, can be done. So kind of being able to be out in the community and having an outreach strategy and having as many people with disabilities come out and say, this is what's important. This is why the city needs a disability program, et cetera. Because, you know, there are many other programs that are out there. And the fact that, you know, they have a disability program, I mean, that's really needed to be kind of more out in the forefront so people really know that it's out there and really utilize it as a valuable resource.
We're speaking this morning with Kyle Moses of the City of Portland Disability Program here on More Talk Radio on KBOO. Coming up at 9, here the OMO Variety Hour. Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders have raised awareness of how many people are dissatisfied with the current political system. The OMO asks, what are the alternatives? At 10:15 on Locus Focus, Barbara Bernstein speaks with Bob Salinger of the Audubon Society about the mass killings of cormorants on East Sand Island in Columbia River Estuary and the lack of progress in developing a plan to clean up the Portland Harbor Superfund site. At 11 on Health Watch, Dr. David Naiman speaks with Dr. Geneva Lipton and about the fibromyalgia treatment guide.
I'm listening to the podcast of that. That's a good one.
And at 11:30 on Health and Healthcare Forum, Dr. Walt Dawson speaks on long-term services and supports on healthcare perspectives from Canada. Thank you, KBOO, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
Absolutely, and keep supporting opportunities like this. So, you know, one of the things that I find interesting now, a lot of people who we talk to are often not happy with bureaucracies or governments and feel that any effort to reach out to people has a connected, equal but opposite reaction of, yeah, we're putting our hand out, but, you know, we're taking something too. And so I can imagine that some people are a little suspicious of the fact that you have a bureaucracy offering to do civic leadership. But what I would challenge people to consider is, with regard to social change, yes, there are other organizations and there are other ways that you can become connected and learn a lot of leadership techniques and qualities or sharpen what skills you have. But with regard to civic governance, it's not often that you get this opportunity to not only see behind the scenes, but to actually be engaged and be a player behind the scenes. So we really want to encourage people, and especially people of color. One of the things the study that the Urban League did for the state of Black Oregon was to find out that regardless of what situation or category you might find yourself in, so whether it be economic or academic or anything like that, that you'll find people of color on the bottom. And especially with regard to Black Oregonians, you'll find members of the African diaspora at the bottom. So we really want to encourage people to get involved. And I know with a culture that Portland is is reputed to have, and everything from popular culture like maybe Portlandia, you know, mm-hmm. all the way to political science studies or analyses, you find that this is going to be a predominantly white environment. If you are really looking to get involved in civic governance as a person of color, this would seem to me a good opportunity. And I'm assuming that that's a challenge that you're looking at as well.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've gone to the Urban League, and we've gotten a few people that were interested that were actually seniors. And, you know, it's 18 plus, so that plus goes on for, you know, as long as you're alive.
Okay.
I mean, and as long as you have a real desire to do things and to be civically engaged. So, I mean, in that regard, there's an understanding that, you know, I think in some ways it starts with a pulse, you know, mm-hmm. and having yes. like that pulse and that desire for civic leadership and civic change. That's all you need.
And say something about your outreach to newer immigrants, different cultures and different languages. Is that something that you've been able to do?
Mm-hmm. So two months ago, I actually went to the Mekong Bistro with Polo Catalani, and he's a lawyer and works for the city. And he helped me get 11 ethnic streams together to really allow that voice of immigrants and refugees to be connected for people with disabilities. So it wasn't simply just you know, the white, rich, et cetera, white middle class. I mean, we're really trying to make this multicultural, multigenerational, multi-ethnicity, as many cultures and people of color as we can. And of course, historically, that's been very challenging in most parts of, you know, America for obvious reasons. And so I think that really doing that outreach in those respects is a lot more important. And, you know, it's not that it's to engage those that haven't, generally speaking, been engaged before.
Right. You know, I'm sure there are people who have just turned tune in to the program and have no idea what we're talking about. So let's rewind it a little bit. And let me introduce you again, Kyle Mosley of the City of Portland Disability Program. And what is the program that you are advocating for in terms of the Leadership Academy? Tell us about that.
So the Disability Leadership Academy is a three-phased program that actually helps people with disabilities find ways to empower themselves so that they can become civically engaged and much more connected to the world and to the city of Portland with which they generally speaking live.
This is an opportunity to gain leadership skills, ways to connect with other people and organizations. Is this not?
Correct.
And how may people contact you?
So people can contact me at kiel.moses@portlandoregon.gov, or they can call me at 503-823-2539.
Excellent.
And we're actually hoping to start this in the fall of this year.
The fall of this year. And this is for people 18 and older?
Correct.
And what type of disabilities do they need to have?
So it's really self-directed disability, self-identified. So if you have a disability and you want to participate and you have the desire and, inclination to do so, you're more than welcome to participate.
But what if I've never been civically active? Is that something that I can participate in? Will I be overwhelmed by bureaucratic talk?
We'll try and dumb it down as much as possible so that everyone can kind of get, engaged as much as they can. And look, in all seriousness, we're really looking for people that want to have, voice and change. And if you haven't historically been, engaged in that, we're looking to have someone who can vouch for you to say, look, we have this belief and this desire and this drive, and this person, whoever the applicant is, has that, even though they might not have sort of shown that in more traditional ways. I think being able to do that and have that be explained by the applicant's person who's giving them the
recommendation.
Exactly, the recommendation. Sorry. Then, we can definitely work with that.
And so people who do not have a self-diagnosed disability, people with disabilities. We all do.
Exactly.
And we all know people with skills, or we've noticed that there's something that they might benefit from this program and that we might benefit from their participation.
Exactly, because we're all in this together.
And this Leadership Academy is for people of all ages, over 18.
Correct.
Different cultures, different language, you'll make accommodations for that?
Very much so. We're actually going to make all of the accommodations accessible and all of the promotional materials accessible.
Yes, that's so important. And accommodation accessible as well.
Exactly.
Kyle, this has really been fascinating, and I'm interested in how this academy develops and how the outcomes out of it. When you came up with this, or the group of you came up with this idea, were there other models in different parts of the country or places that you you said that you want to imitate, or is this something
well
new?
So the DCL program that actually the city works with and through, that's a wonderful model in the sense of dealing with issues of racism and inequalities and whatever, and trying to change that, so taking what has been and wanting to then create what will be.
Excellent. We have been talking this morning with Kyle Mosley of the City of Portland Disability Program. And their leadership academy, which will probably begin in the fall, mm-hmm. you said.
Mm-hmm.
One more time for people to contact you. Your email address is?
KIEL.MOSES@PortlandOregon.gov.
And, you know, we're going to have people, like, memorize that so
right.
as soon as
right.
they leave here. And
right.
if you want to reach Kyle by phone, that number is 503-823-2539. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Hey, Kyle, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
I hope, you know, great success for that. And come back sometime to tell us how it's going.
Great. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to More Talk Radio on Monday, June 20th. My name is Cecil Prescott. For my co-host, Celeste Carey, we wish you a good day.